We're going to ask them to pass out the notes at this time. You are going to notice that there are no notes. They are blank sheets of paper. The goal today is for you to actually write down everything. As we go through this teaching on worship and faith, I'm going to give you 5 points. And this is designed for you to be able to not only write those points down, but the scripture passages. Don't worry, we are going to have the cheat sheet right here, okay? But I think it's important that sometimes we start with a blank piece of paper. And that in the process of study and in discovery of who God is, we encounter Him and we write down what we encounter. You know, the Word of God is everything. I heard yesterday Joshua's going to be speaking at a retreat, and he shared his talk yesterday. And one of the things that he did that I have done over and over and over again is he held up this book right here, and he said, "This is it. This is it." I appreciated that he said, "You can go to a lot of resources and stuff, and you can draw from them. But the bottom line is, this is it." The amazing thing about the Word of God is it never contradicts itself. It never does. You know, when the Word of God contradicts itself, it's because we are trying to make it say something that it doesn't say. And so it is on us to actually search out the Scriptures and find out, what does the Bible say about a certain topic? Because it will never contradict itself. We were in a flashback a couple of weeks back. And if you've never been to flashback, you need to go at least once. Because we start with what we study on the weekend, but then we go through rabbit trails like you would not believe. But they are things that we need to know about the faith. And one of the things that came up, was about faith. And the question and the thought was, you know, man, what do I do when I don't have enough faith? And me, thinking I have the answer for everything, said, well, your faith doesn't come from you. It comes from God. And actually, the faith that you do use is not your faith. It actually is God's faith. Now, the reason why I said that without even knowing where to find that in Scripture is because I do know this. The Scripture says that all things come from God, right? But it challenged me that day to be able to go, you know what? I probably need to find out if I was right on that. Because I'm going to tell you, I've been told before, I don't have enough faith. Have you ever been told you don't have enough faith? As a matter of fact, there's a teaching in the church that is not biblical. And that is, if you aren't healed, it's because you don't have enough faith. That's not biblical. That's not the way that it works. Because sometimes God just says no. And He says no for His honor and for His glory. And we don't understand it right now, but somewhere down the road, God is going to take this no and He's going to make it known that He is God. As I go through life, one of the things, and Mark Davis said this to me, everybody dies. Everybody dies. It just depends on what God's designed for your life of when you die. And I've prayed for many people that they would be healed. But God said no. And it wasn't the lack of my faith or the lack of their faith. Because then the question comes in. Jesus says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can do what? Move mountains. Anybody move a mountain lately? You see, a mountain, though, is objective, right? It's a mountain in your life could be something that happens in your family. A mountain in your life could be something that you overcome personally in your life. But the reality of it is that faith to move that mountain is not my faith. My faith is weak. My faith gets tired. My faith falls. My faith has fear. My faith struggles. Because it's human faith. But when I understand what the Word of God says about faith, then I have more power in faith. And here's the amazing thing about faith. Faith produces believing. You see, when you have faith in who God is, then it's easier for us to believe that God is who He says He is. And so as we look at this aspect of worship and faith today, may we recognize that God is everything. Yes, we would like things to be different at times. But God has a purpose and a reason for everything. Yesterday I was, matter of fact, at the church cleaning up. We're going through all the sound and we're selling a lot of stuff because we just can't use it in the building. And as I had a task to clean up all of the sound and basically box it up and throw away what we didn't need, all the cables and cords, and I got to tell you, there are just thousands of them. And as I was doing that last night, I ran across this little box, and this little box had writing on it. And I haven't seen everything that we have. And as I saw that little box, I went, what in the world is that? And that little box had two pieces of paper with it. And I opened the two pieces of paper up, and it was all these instructions and writings and designs. And I was like, what is this? It was basically instructions to fix something. And the little box had the things in it that if you need to fix this thing, here's how you fix it. And that was on top of a dimmer pack that controls lighting that we've used in our church forever. And it was a big dimmer pack, and I was sitting there looking at it going, okay, dimmer pack, instructions, little box. I opened the little box, and there's all these little components in there. And then I looked at the dimmer pack, and there was a point in time, these dimmer packs are expensive. It enables you to turn this side of the room off and leave this side of the room on type thing. And I remember a time when one of our dimmer packs went out, and we had to ship it all the way to Mexico because that's where they're made. And it had to be repaired. And we needed one of them to be repaired quickly. And I remember Jim Tuvey came to me. He said, I'll fix that dimmer pack for you. He's a fixer. He is a Mr. Fixer. And I looked at him. I said, okay, Jim, go ahead and fix this dimmer pack. He brings it back, and I mean, it is completely fixed, and it has just this whole new design. And it was his design. You got to understand something. When he designed something and fixed something, it didn't look exactly the way it was before, but it worked. And he had left the dimmer pack and the instructions and the box and the components, and it written all over the box of what this was for, just in case it needed to be fixed again. Yeah, I think about, when I thought about that, I thought, man, I prayed for Jim. God said, nope, you are coming home. Has nothing to do with my faith or Jim's faith. It has to do with God's will. Let's look at number one. Faith comes from God. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It's probably one of my most favorite verses. It's one that if you have not memorized, I'm going to challenge you to memorize that along with the Romans Road. There are five verses for you to lead somebody to Jesus. And after you go through the Romans Road, you go to this verse right here. And this is what it says. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God so that no man could boast. So you can't boast about your faith. You see, faith comes from God. Romans 3:27 is a great verse. It backs this up as well as it expresses to us what faith is. It says, where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that observing the law. No, but on that of faith. You see, if we recognize that faith comes from God, then when I encounter a problem or when I'm going through something, the best thing that I can do is go, God, I've got to give this thing to you. I've done all that I can. And I am asking you to take this and make it what you want of it. And I am using your faith to believe that you will do what you want to do. Number two, God decides how much faith you get. I never knew this. As I was studying, I'm sitting there looking at these verses and go, wow, that's new to me, because I thought that I had to have faith, and faith came from within me, and it's my faith that I'm applying to this mountain. The Bible says this in Romans 12, a great verse, as we recognize that faith comes from God. Romans 12:3. You might know Romans 12:1-2. That's a great verse as well. As we absorb the Word of God in our life, it changes our thinking. But Romans 12:3 says this, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment. Did you get that? Don't think you're all that. Because guess what? You ain't all that. When we are placed next to who God is, we are nothing. We are nothing. And he says, you need to figure this out in your mind and be thinking straight. Have sober judgment about this in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Faith comes from God, and God decides how much faith. This is backed up again in 1 Timothy chapter 1. You can turn there. It'll also be on the screen. Verse 13, even though I was once a blasphemer, this is Paul speaking, and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. It comes from God through Christ to me. And I'm designed to take the faith of God and apply it to my life. 1 Corinthians 4:7, the last verse in regards to this passage. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says this, for who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? All things come from God. That's why in worship, in a lifestyle of worship, all things are designed to be given back to God. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be your children. You don't have to raise your hand right now, but if I ask the question, man alive, my child needs help. My child needs help. You raise your hand and go, okay, that's me. My child may not know God, or my child may know God, but is lost and away from God. That's me. You have to recognize that we are designed to give everything back to God, whether it is our time, our finances, our children, our jobs, our marriage, our love, our sacrifice, our service, our worship, church. You realize you're here today in order to give back to God and glorify Him? It doesn't belong to us. It is designed to give back to God. Number three, faith comes through the Word of God. This was a big question for me. As I began to think about what I said, that faith doesn't come from me, faith comes from God. Then my next question was, well, then where do I get it? I mean, because I have it, and I have it. You know why we have faith? Because we have to have faith. And our faith is based on Christ, which is the greatest hope we can ever base our faith on. And I began to ask, okay, where do you get this faith? Romans 10, this is an amazing verse. Romans chapter 10, in verse number 17, it says this. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. You see, when you read this, and when you study this, and when you know this, you need to be comfortable in this. These pages need to be worn. They need to be marked up. It's okay to write in your Bible, but it's not okay to write on money, okay? No, but you should be. This should be your best friend. You should feel comfortable opening the Bible because the Spirit of God lives in you. And when you open the Bible, He will reveal truth to you. And your faith comes from what you know about this. So bottom line is this. If you lack faith, get into this. Get into this. Because the more you read this, you're going to go, God wins every time. Even when we think God lost, no, God wins every single time. And His timing is perfect. Not, if we are in the essence of who God is and we're walking through life and we're trying to accomplish something, whatever we've been called to, like a building, I'm going to tell you, I've lost faith a lot over the last 13 months. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to let you know, and I'm like, I taught on Nehemiah 4 a couple weeks ago, how we're building a wall, and all of a sudden, people come in, the Sanballats of life, and they say, oh, you're not going to be able to do that, and if you did do it, a fox will walk on top of the wall, and it'll crumble. I kid you not, within the last 2 months, I had somebody tell me, you will never move into that building. And this is a Christian person. Do you ever wonder why I'm so positive about stuff that is so big? I know this drives a lot of people crazy. We were going to move in January of last year. And then that didn't happen, so then it was going to be March. It still didn't happen, so then it was going to be June. Man, that didn't. Then it was going to be September. We're right around the corner. No, we have to do this stuff now. And then it was going to be October, then November. We'll be in by Christmas, don't worry. Have you heard me say that? You got to believe that God is going to do what He wants to do. And you know what? The Sanballats will come along, and those that fight against you will come along. You just got to keep moving forward in faith, and it's the faith of God. Because if He has called you to something, He will complete that work in you. He will complete that work in you. It may not be on your timing, and it may not look the way that you thought it was going to look, but He will do it. You know why? Because He has promised it. We just have to find ourselves in the middle of who He is, pressing on. And for the Sanballats, and I'm going to be honest with you, when I heard that, it was actually two different people. I just went, God bless you, man. That's okay. I don't hold anything against you. I wouldn't say that to you. It's just not nice. Kind of mean. As a matter of fact, by you saying that, what you are doing is you're attacking God. Faith comes through the Word of God. Here's number four. You're designed to ask for faith. If you don't have enough faith, ask for faith. This is great here. This is Luke 17, verse 5. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. You know what? You need to, if you have something in your life where you are waning in your faith, you need to go to God and say, God, increase my faith. Increase my faith. Show me the truth. Lead me in your way. Strengthen my heart. Cause me to talk and think forward. You might call me a spiritual optimist, because I am. I believe that God will do what he wants to do. And I want to be a part of what God wants to do. And as we move through this in life, we have to just push all of this other stuff away that speaks against what God wants to do. You still love people, but you do not receive their words. Did you hear that? When somebody speaks negativism into your life, do not receive their words. If you allow the words to get up here, you lose. You lose. Because God says he will always complete the work in you that he started. So as you worship in faith, ask for faith. And then number 5, Jesus is the founder and perfecter of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. This is a great chapter. Hebrews 12, verse number 2, it says this. I'm going to read verse number 1, though, to start out. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw aside everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. All these sand ballots? Get back, man. That's what you just said is not from God. It is not. It isn't. Number 2 says this, verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You know what that said? Your faith comes from Jesus. So let me ask you this. Can Jesus do anything that God wants him to do? Can he? He can he? And can you do anything that God asks you to do in Jesus? Yes. It may look different than what you have designed in your head. It may come at a different time. It may cause you to have to pray more, to have to seek him more, to have to read more. But when God calls you to have faith in a specific area and you lay that down and give it to him, God will take it and he will lift it up. About 2 months ago, in this process of the building, and I have the stuff I do during the day, and Dub will tell you this. I'm running in and out. I've got meetings and stuff. I'm trying to schedule when I get in there and I do lights, and then we're hanging sound this week because that's kind of what I do. And so I'm here, there, and everywhere. But in this process, it's been a journey of just kind of seeing what God wants to do when he wants to do it. And there are things that happen that just slowed us down, and I wish they didn't happen, but God had a purpose in them, and I can see that now. And now we're about ready to go in. But honestly, 2 months ago, I kid you not, I just laid down. I just said, okay, I'm going to let this whole thing go. I can't carry this anymore. God, I'm going to give this thing to you. This is it. I'm done. Here it is. I'm going to do what I need to do in the process, but God, I am letting go of this because this is your thing. And you know what happened? Stuff started to happen. It doesn't mean that what I was doing before was necessarily wrong, but personally for me, I had to let go of it. Because in the midst of all that, people were dying, and I'm doing funerals. I'm counseling individuals who are in addiction. I'm hanging out with folks. The hard things, playing golf. But But it came to a point where I just had to say, okay, I'm just going to let it go. And God did. There are so many times in our life that we ask for God to do something specific. And it doesn't go the way we would like. But the reality is this: God will do what He wants to do. And in the end, as long as we follow Him, we will be exactly where we are supposed to be. I'm going to give you just a story, and it's written in the connection guide. We've had so many people step up and sacrifice in the building and giving, and there's still more to do. We'll get in, and it's going to be a process. But we have 15 years, okay? But we'll be in. And so we were approaching some of the last stuff, and stuff comes up all the time. Doug will tell you, we're fighting about the doors now and everything else, but there will always be something until we actually get those things done. But I remember this last week or 2 weeks ago, it came down to, okay, we have to have this HVAC unit. We're trying everything we possibly can to cut corners. We're community hospital pulled off a bunch of units, and we even contacted Comfort Air and said, we're trying to make a deal, man. I think we can use those. We call the engineer. Hey, engineer, can we use these? Well, you give us a little write-off. They're 12.5 ton, not 15 ton. All right, you can use those if you have something on it. I don't even know what it's called. What is it called, Dub? Economizer. Now I'm sitting there thinking, okay, what are we going to do? God, what do you want to do? God, what do you want to do? I don't know what you want to do. So I threw it out to the church, and I said, here's where we're at. We're trying to do everything we possibly can. God's going to do this. He will make this happen. Somebody came up to me last week and said, hey, I just want to let you know God's done something in our life. And we're going to give $8,000. Amen. That's incredible. You know what happened to my faith? Man, it went through the roof. I was like, wow. But see, I was still working on the 12.5 ton thing because, I mean, if it would have worked, we could have got it really cheap. It's used, I understand that, but man, it would have been great because we got it super cheap. And if it didn't work, we can make the other two units help push air into the room. We'll be okay. We can make this thing happen because we just need to save as much money as we can. And $8,000 goes a long way. Well, on Tuesday morning, a guy called me and he said, hey, you got 5 minutes? I said, yeah. Meet at Starbucks. It's my new office. That's where I meet everybody. He sits down. He says, hey, God told us to do this. And he handed me $13,000. And he said this, don't get the 12.5 ton. Go for the one you need. The one the engineer says is best for you. He also was with us on North Avenue, by the way. So he remembers this pain and suffering of the summer. Anybody? Anybody here or there? Oh, yeah. Well, we also had 600-watt lights shining down on us like we were French fries. That was dumb, okay? And so we took it back to leadership, and I said, what do y'all think? Well, when God does something like that, you know what you do? You go for the 15-ton, knowing that God will take care of the rest. So we ordered it. Take 3 weeks to make. They actually have to make this thing. It's going to come in on the 21st. And the Sanballat's prognosis is wrong. You see what God does? He wants to do that in your life. But even if it doesn't happen, if you pray and you push and you try, even if it doesn't happen, know this: God is in control. I want you to watch this video.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. Stood on this stage night after.
I'd hired a guy and I know you're able, and I know you can. I hired a guy in Dallas out of seminary. His name was Mr. Green. He's a good guy. I hired him from middle school. He was perfect because he was crazy. He loved kids, and I don't know, he got a whole seminary degree to work with middle school. What's up with that? And I remember I was in my office one day, and mercy me, the song. I was going, man, have you heard the latest? And this is a long time ago, okay, so this is like 2001. I said, man, did you hear the new song by Mercy Me? He's like, yeah. He said, they're powerful. Matter of fact, at the time, they were what called an artist in residence at Pantego Bible Church. That's just a fancy name for you go to the church and then you sing occasionally, and the pastor is able to say, Mercy Me goes to my church. Crazy stuff. We had Al Denson. But anyway, he said, yeah. I said, man, those words are powerful. He said, yeah, you want to meet him? And I said, what? He goes, yeah, he's one of my best friends. We roomed together in college. And I said, yeah, I want to meet him. And I can tell you this, that Mercy Me is a great band, and everything you hear, you got to know something. Number one, it comes from the Word of God. But number two, this is real life. The suffering is real to the point that you say, but even if you don't, my hope is in Christ alone. Get that hope. Because in that hope is your faith. And your faith will last till the very end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now and we thank you just for loving us. What an amazing God you are. We bind ourselves with so many things. And all you want to do is to set us free. May we lay everything down and worship in faith. Know your word, study it, read it, meditate on it. In the pages, we see you. We see your power, we see your strength, we see your forgiveness, we see your love, we see your victory, we see your empathy, we see your sorrow, we see your pain. May we recognize that we are designed to live in faith, believing that you can do whatever you want. And in everything that you do, you win. But even if you don't, may we find our faith in Christ alone. Thank you for loving us. May you empower us this week to touch lives around us, to live in the joy of our salvation, to live positive in who you are and what you're doing in us, to speak life and light into the darkness, to shine for your glory as the light of Christ shines through us. And we will give you the glory for all that you do. And it is in the name of your Son, Jesus. We ask these things. Amen. Have a great, great week. Good to see you guys. Good to see you.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going. Share.